Good morning and welcome again to the broadcast. We're glad to have you listening today and we appreciate so much your joining us. We're talking this week about blaspheming the Holy Spirit. And our text today will begin in Luke chapter 11. Now we're studying through the book of Luke and we've come to this section where the Bible tells us about some people who blaspheme the Holy Spirit. In Luke chapter 11, of course, what took place here begins in verse 14. Now, this is where Jesus cast a demon out of a man. The people, when they saw this miracle, were amazed. Some of them said, "This must be the Son of David." In other words, some of them said, "This is proof that this man is the Messiah. He must be the Christ." But there were prejudiced religious leaders who were there. There were Pharisees who were there as well. And they said that Jesus did this miracle by the power of the devil himself. They did not deny because they could not deny that he worked a miracle. So they said, yes, he worked a miracle. He did something supernatural here, but he did it by the power of Satan. Now, what you have to remember about this, folks, is how hard of heart these people were. That's the key. That is what you really need to bear in mind when you're looking at the subject of the blasphemy against the Holy Spirit. Because the blasphemy we're going to find today and tomorrow comes from a certain kind of heart. And in Luke chapter 11, we find that these people were hardened against Jesus Christ. So what Jesus does, beginning in verse 17, is to show them how ridiculous it was for these Pharisees to say what they were saying. Now, these Pharisees were intelligent men. They were not people who didn't know the Bible. They were not people that did not understand. They were educated people. But when a man has his mind made up and he's prejudiced against the truth, he'll say ridiculous things. And that's what happened to them. The Bible says in verse 17, "But he, knowing their thoughts," now that's very important to remember. Jesus knew what was behind these words. He knew what they were thinking. He knew the condition of their heart. "And he said unto them, every kingdom divided against itself is brought to desolation, and a house divided against itself falls. If Satan also be divided against himself, how shall his kingdom stand? Because you say that I cast out devils through Beelzebub." So Jesus said, look, any kingdom or any house that is divided against itself shall not stand. And what you're saying is that Satan is throwing out, he is casting out his own demons. Well, that doesn't make any sense. If Satan is casting out his own demons, that means that Satan is fighting against himself. He's not going to do that. And he says in verse 19, "If I by Beelzebub cast out devils, by whom do your sons cast them out? Therefore shall they be your judges." Now what he's talking about there, when he says, "By whom do your sons cast them out?" he's talking about the disciples, the followers of these Pharisees. There were disciples, there were followers of these Pharisees that said that they could cast out demons. Now Jesus doesn't admit that they were able to do that. He simply says, all right, you've got followers, you've got disciples who claim to be able to cast out demons. Now, if you say that I'm casting out demons by the devil himself, by whom do they cast out demons? You'd have to say the same thing about them, wouldn't you? And so he said, they will be your judges. In verse 20, he says, "But if I, with the finger of God, that is by the power of God, cast out devils, no doubt the kingdom of God is come upon you." So Jesus said it is the power of God, not the power of Satan, but the power of God that is making this possible here. Now with that in mind, folks, what I want to ask you to do today, because this is very important, is to turn back to Matthew chapter 12. Because in Matthew chapter 12, we find Matthew's account of this same story. And we find that in Matthew's account, he gives us some clues here. He gives us some details that we really need to find out about what this is called the blasphemy against the Holy Spirit. Well, you find beginning in Matthew chapter 12, verse 22, that the Bible tells the story about Jesus casting this demon out. And then in verse 25 and 26 and 27, you find basically what we just read in Luke chapter 11. But in verse 28, you have something very important said. Now remember, what has happened here? Jesus cast a demon out. They said that he did that by the power of the devil. In verse 28 of Matthew chapter 12, Jesus said, "But if I cast out devils by the Spirit of God, then the kingdom of God is come unto you." There is the key to this whole story, folks. How did Jesus cast demons out of these people? He did that by the power of the Spirit of God. The Holy Spirit, or the Holy Ghost, enabled Jesus to cast these demons out. And so what did they say about Jesus? They said, the Pharisees said, that Jesus was casting out demons by the power of the devil himself, when in fact, Jesus said that he was casting out demons by the power of the Spirit of God, the Holy Spirit. So when they criticized Jesus, and they said that he was casting out demons by the power of the devil, they were attributing to the devil himself the working and the power of God's Holy Spirit. Now that is blasphemy. You see, the word blasphemy means to speak evil of someone. And it's hard to imagine how that anybody could say anything more evil and more despicable than what they're saying here. To take the power of the Holy Spirit, the power of casting out demons, and to give credit for that miracle to the devil himself, and to say that the devil was actually behind and responsible for what the Holy Spirit did, is absolute blasphemy. So it's a blasphemy. It is a blaspheming against the Holy Spirit, because the Holy Spirit is the one that is at work here. So you might look at this story and say, it appears that they're speaking evil of, it looks like that they're blaspheming Jesus Christ. But because Jesus did this miracle by the power of the Holy Spirit, when they spoke against this miracle, they were speaking against, they were blaspheming the Holy Spirit. So I believe that Matthew chapter 12, verse 28, is absolutely necessary for us to understand and to keep in mind when we read this story. So since we're in Matthew's account here in Matthew chapter 12, let's continue. Because the Bible says in verse 29 that Jesus said this, "Or else, how can one enter into a strong man's house and spoil his goods, except he first bind the strong man, and then he will spoil his house?" So Jesus said, the only way that I could overcome these demons, the only way that I could cast out this devil, was to have a power greater than the power of the devil. That's what he's illustrating here in verse 29. And then in verse 30, he tells these people that they need to make up their minds. You can't have it both ways. You can't say, well, I've done a miracle here, and then oppose me. You cannot be on both sides of the fence. And so he says in verse 30, "He that is not with me is against me, and he that gathers not with me scatters abroad. Wherefore I say unto you," verse 31, "all manner of sin and blasphemy shall be forgiven unto men, but the blasphemy against the Holy Ghost," now that's what they just did, "the blasphemy against the Holy Ghost shall not be forgiven unto men." So there's the statement, folks. The Bible says this cannot be forgiven. And he goes on in verse 32 and says, "And whosoever speaks a word against the Son of Man, it shall be forgiven him. But whosoever speaks a word against the Holy Spirit, the Holy Ghost, it shall not be forgiven him, neither in this world, neither in the world to come." Now that is from Matthew 12, verse 32. There are some things in that verse now that we need to spend some time with. What does he mean by some of these statements? Why does he say that whoever speaks against, that is, blasphemes against the Son of Man, he can be forgiven, but whoever blasphemes against the Holy Ghost, it will not be forgiven him? Why the difference? What is the difference between blaspheming Jesus Christ and blaspheming the Holy Spirit? I believe what he's talking about here is this. There were people in Jesus' time that spoke against him because he was from Galilee, and especially because he was from Nazareth. there were people that questioned him as to whether he was the Messiah simply because they had seen him grow up. They knew who his mother and father were. They knew his sisters and brothers. And so they looked at him as just being another neighbor, just being an average Jew. And they were so hung up with his parents, his family, where he was raised and where he was from in the Jewish nation that they couldn't see past that. They couldn't see past the upbringing that he had and where he was from to see that he was the Messiah indeed. And some of those people spoke against him because of those earthly conditions and that earthly background. And so speaking against him in that way is something that could be forgiven. Nathanael, even, when he first heard about Jesus being from Nazareth, said, "Can any good thing come out of Nazareth?" John chapter 1. Well, that was a prejudice that he had against that place. But that was not something that was held against him. That's not something that he failed to overcome. Because the Bible says that Jesus himself said that Nathanael was an honest man. And so he had just been misled, and he was simply repeating something that he had heard several times about people from Nazareth. So in that sense, a person could speak against Jesus Christ as far as his earthly side was concerned, and that person could be forgiven. But we're talking about something more serious here. We're talking about an outright, undeniable demonstration of the power of the Spirit of God. And when a man sees that kind of demonstration, for which there is no other logical and honest explanation, and he is so hardened in his heart that he denies that that is the power of God, then there's really no hope for that man. His heart is so hardened that you can't reach him. Somebody says, well, in Matthew 12, verse 32, what does Jesus mean when he says that this sin, the blaspheming against the Holy Spirit, will not be forgiven, neither in this world, neither in the world to come? Well, the word world there, and this is very important, the word world means age. And so what he's saying is this: this sin will not be forgiven in this age. And the age that he was living in was the Mosaic age. They were living under the law of Moses. So Jesus said, this sin will not be forgiven in this age, in this dispensation, the Mosaic dispensation, and it won't be forgiven in the age to come, that is, in the Christian age, which started on the day of Pentecost. Now, he's not saying here in Matthew chapter 12, verse 32, that there are some sins that you can be forgiven of in the next life. You see, when you die, the time to choose between God and the devil is over. We've made our choice. When we die, we're going to go either to a place of punishment or to a place of rest. This is not a teaching here that upholds the idea of purgatory or the idea that your sins might be forgiven in the next life because of something that somebody here on the earth has done or has prayed or has given. The catch, again, is in the word world, and it means an age or a dispensation. Now, what we plan to do tomorrow is to get into this text some more and to look even further at what the Bible means when it talks about blaspheming the Holy Spirit. We'll start here in Matthew chapter 12, and then we'll go to Mark chapter 3. Now, it's very important, folks, to read all of these accounts together, to read Luke's account in Luke 11, Matthew's account in Matthew 12, and Mark's account in Mark chapter 3. And taking all those passages together will give us a full view of what the Bible teaches on this subject. So I hope that you can be tuning in at that time, and I hope that you'll have time to read ahead between now and tomorrow morning on this very important and this very interesting Bible subject. Thank you for tuning in. It's been a joy to study with you, and have a wonderful rest of the day.